Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I did leave something out this morning, and I want to, it actually worked out good because it helps me introduce the thing tonight. And just like he said, you could spend the rest of your life going after everything that's taught wrong, preached wrong, whatever, based on what you believe or on whatever. But I still believe the difference that we have here is we show things when we compare them to the Scriptures all by themselves, all by themselves. Now here, for example, is what the ultra, the hyper guys will say. I'll do that just for a little bit more tonight, then we'll get into some regular stuff here. They say things like, we believe that the Holy Bible as originally written was verbally inspired. Now, there's your clue. They don't believe that the King James Bible is that which is perfect. They don't believe it does. They don't believe it is mistakeless. They say that the originals were inspired by God. And from that point on, there's a little tweaking that goes on inside of those things. So they don't really stick to it, although it still is the best. Okay. Another point they make here is they say, God as we know Him is the one and only living and true God. Well, that's true. And what does Paul say? He always mentions what? The living God. So any other way out of that Bible, you don't come up with a living God. So there's a thought for you. They say here in His Holy Spirit is a guy is God in particular manifestation with certain ministries. He bears He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How does the Holy Spirit convict of sin and righteousness and judgment today? How does He do that? Just through your Bible. Just through your Bible. So that's not a big deal. However, they'll never say that that's what it is. Then they say here, Christ became the agency of our conversion. See, there's my point about words. He's our agency of conversion. See what I'm saying? I mean, that's just another one of those. It's like you go to the doctor and they tell you all these things that you need to have. And can you say, Doc, what have I got? Well, you got the flu. Can't you just say that? He's the agency. Yes, He is the agency of the conversion. But that's not a scriptural. It's just part of that deeper theological talk that you got to get used to and that kind of a thing here. So, but I did want to mention one thing from here. You also say here, spiritual gifts, signs, and wonders are no longer used to declare His message to Israel, which is a good point. And then he says, there are no such gifts anymore today. Well, excuse me, but in Romans chapter 12, there's a string of gifts yet that are given out. Now, that's through the local church assembly, the people within the body of Christ. So, again, if you believe that there are no gifts, then see, there's no purpose for you to be other than to have a good time. We all, even the folks that are gone, had a particular purpose within this body. And that's how why we are hurting the way we are, is because some part of our body has been taken away. I mean, God puts this stuff together, not in a sovereign way where He controls it, but there's a need that gets fulfilled. And you still here, you still have a particular need in this body we have here. But I did want to get to this thing, and this is still a contention for so many people. I won't spend much time on it, but it just sparks me down another little path for tonight. And they talk about, a lot of the mid guys don't do the baptism. Baptism's not a big deal for them either. So that's not a problem. But there are still a lot of them that do the Lord's Supper. And like I've said before, the communion, whatever. Like I said before, if somebody wants to do that, I would just tell them, you go home and do that. It's like no big deal to me. We won't do it here. I don't believe it's something that God asks us to do or tells us to do. I don't believe it's one of the ordinances. And they've got this paragraph where they write this here. And I just want to read this one short little sentence. It's just a sentence, not even a paragraph. And then you tell me that that doesn't even sound strange just in itself. The Lord's Supper, the communion, is in commemoration. I don't see where that pops in. Commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sins of the believer, and is an appropriate means of celebration, thanksgiving, and self-evaluation. See, and I have a problem with that. It's a commemoration. Well, it's a celebration. What do they call the Mass in the Catholic Church? What do they call that? They celebrate the Mass. What is there to celebrate? Sure, Christ died on the cross and He rose again and everything, but it's not in there to celebrate that thing. That's like celebrating His birth. Okay, well then let's celebrate His birth. Well, we're not told to do that. Let's celebrate His death and His torture and His death on the cross. We're not told to celebrate that. So that's one of those things. And then self-evaluation. And then I just have to ask the question to people, then if we're to self-evaluate and we evaluate ourselves based on this Lord's Supper or the communion that we're supposed to take, what happens if you find out that you're not... I mean, what's there to self-evaluate? We understand what Paul teaches about sin. We understand about what Paul teaches about imputation. Right? I mean, what are you going to find? If you do an honest self-evaluation, you're going to find out that your works are a problem. You're always going to find out something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, or you thought of something or whatever. But that will not affect your salvation. That does not affect your life or death, which is what it says at the end of that, in Corinthians. Some sleep and sick, kind of a thing. So the way that the Lord's Supper is presented in a fashion that actually goes against what Paul preaches. Just in that in itself. The fact that Paul reads this thing and he's just telling people what Jesus did at the Last Supper with the people, with apostles in the book of John. That's all he's doing. He's telling them what Christ told him about this event that took place. And he's passing on this event. And nowhere are we told to do it. He says that because that's what they were told. So he's just reiterating a story or an event that took place. And if during that time they were to do the Lord's Supper as such, and we said it before, look at 1 Corinthians 11:24, there would have been a reason. And that reason was in remembrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And if that's a commemoration, if that's a memorial, which a lot of new Bibles say, and a lot of people teach that sort of a thing, but it doesn't say that. This do in remembrance of me. What did he do? Well, this is how you have to remember him. So, it just got me thinking here, verse 24 and verse 25, same thing. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come, for as often as ye eat this bread, whatsoever. Remembrance of me in verse 25, there it is, this to you, as often as you drink it, your remembrance of me. And that's what they were told to do when he was talking to those guys in John, in the Gospels. So, enough of that. If the teachings and the results of the Lord's Supper don't match up with Paul's teachings. So, that's why, the bottom line, we don't do that. But I wanted to talk about tonight was, he still says, this do in remembrance of me. Well, how do we remember Christ? We remember his Christ, we remember his death, his burial. We have it in detail. We can go back to Isaiah. We can go through the Gospels. We can remember all that. And that's the Bible. So I got to thinking, well, let's do something that's kind of relaxed, kind of low-key or whatever I suppose it would be, and let's see what else it is that we're to remember. And I know we've talked about this before, but we've come so far that maybe we can fine-tune this stuff a little bit here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17. As a Christian, what is it that Paul tells these people, the church of Corinth and the Philippians and the church of Thessalonica, what does he tell these people to remember? Sure, he tells them to remember Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Sure. Fine. But now, see, we have a Bible, 1 Corinthians 4:17. And none of these are going to be new verses for us, so they shouldn't take long. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. And there it is. What are some of the things that we're supposed to remember? Paul's ways. Well, who's the man? Timothy. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. Okay, he describes Timothy. So Timothy's going to be the one that's going to remind us of his ways, which be in Christ, and are to be taught in every church. So that's a classic for us here. We know that the ways of Christ, through Timothy, should be taught in every church. What does that mean? That means Timothy should be taught in church. 1st, 2nd Timothy. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, that's nothing spectacular for you. But I'll tell you what, it's spectacular in a lot of places. 1 Timothy this, and chapter 1, chapter 2, the pastor stuff, the deacon's wife's things, the modest apparel thing, the women learn in silence, and the latter times giving heed to seducing spirits, rebuke not an elder and take care of him, and ladies that are working and they should be home guiding the house, otherwise it's turned aside after Satan. That's pretty rough stuff. All those people that correct the word of God, he lists them, perverse disputings, men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. And it's not only those that corrupt the word of God, it's those that that don't teach godliness in a true fashion, according to the description. And it's also against those men who at work complain and whine to their boss. That's up there in chapter 1. Count their own masters worthy of all honor. And if you do that, the name of God and His doctrine is not blasphemed. You're a Christian. That's how you're supposed to be at work. So, yeah, Timothy's in pretty tough. That's just 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is also where we learn about rightly dividing. 1 and 2 Timothy. Study to show, 2 Timothy 2:15. It also talks about sound words. Hold fast to the form of sound words. It talks about all sorts of things. That's what's supposed to be being taught in our churches. So, that's what needs to be taught. So there's one thing, what Timothy is doing is he's teaching the ways of Christ, okay, in every church. Okay, here we go. Let's look at another one here. Philippians chapter 1. Things to remember. If these are the things to remember, that means that these are the things that we also need to teach to our children. When we have time, I guess. Philippians 1 verse 3. It's a quick one. Well, it's just Paul and Timotheus, verse 1, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Good greetings. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. Then he goes on and he talks about that. So there's something to remember. What's there something to remember? Each one of us. Maybe a specific person that really has a specific need. Or, he just says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So here's Paul remembering his people. And so in verse 4, he prays for them. That's easy. That's a quick one. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. By the way, all these that we look at, you can find all of these in your Bible. How do you pray for somebody? Well, what is it that we're supposed to be doing as a Christian? What are we supposed to be being as a Christian? All the different things that Paul teaches in Philippians 4:9, that's what we can pray for each other for. Now, we can't possibly cover everybody. Well, he does tell us that he did, and we ought to be able to think of these things for people. What are his ways which be in Christ? Well, it's in the Bible, Timothy. We see here in verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from... There's that Timothy guy again. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. What's there to remember here? Paul. These folks come from Timothy. Timothy came from these folks, and he brought with good news, good tidings, and these folks had faith, and these folks had charity. And I said just last week, in order for Timothy, who wrote what he wrote, to come back from meeting some people, knowing what he wrote, then he must have seen what it was he was writing that he's concerned about, and he must have seen that, and he was able to come back and tell Paul the good tidings. But he also came back with the fact that they remembered Paul. They wanted that. It says there, and that you have good remembrance of us. He was able to come back and say, hey, Paul, these guys haven't forgotten you. They know what you've taught. They know what you've done for them. And it's the same thing. We need to remember what it is that Paul has done. Now, Paul is not our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But Paul is the apostle that teaches us about Jesus Christ. And I know I've heard people say we get so tired of the word Paul. Well, I understand that. And yes, we're following the risen Savior. But really, bottom line is, and I said it before, anybody who wants to follow Jesus out of the Gospels has to follow 12 apostles. We follow one. And I still try to remind myself to follow the risen Savior according to Paul. So I try to say that anymore. But still, here they're coming back with a testimony that says, ye have good remembrance of us, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and then as we also to see you. That's good. Let's look at another one here. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, well, we better stop and see what it was that he put in remembrance, these things. Is it possibly the things that are coming? I don't think so, because he says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So it looks like verse 9 covers the verses before that. So before verse 6, we have 1 through 5. Let's see what those are. These are the things that I need to put you in remembrance of. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Okay? Nourished, there's your nourishment now, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And he says to Timothy, whereunto thou hast attained. Remember Paul? Paul says he hadn't attained. And he says right here, Timothy, you know, you've attained these things that we're talking about here. Then he goes on to some other ones, but I do believe that those are pertaining to verse 9. So you can take your pick on those things. Things to remember. And I'm supposed to help you remember those things. Let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Again, talking about Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Who's thee? Timothy. He's praying for Timothy. Okay? So do you have somebody you're concerned about? Specifically. Paul mentioned all these people, but in this case he mentions Timothy. Specifically, Timothy. That's okay. It's a good thing. Remember that person in prayer. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Let's look at verse 5. I guess we can throw in verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Isn't that odd that he'd be filled with joy? Mindful of thy tears? He goes on. When I call to remembrance, there it is again, the unfeigned faith. Feigned is a fake. It's a fake thing. It's a show. It's something that's concealed. It's a fake. It's not there. So if it's unfeigned, it's real. I wonder how many people today have a feigned faith. So he called, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in their grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Paul remembers the people. Paul remembers a person. And Paul remembers these people because of their testimony. Paul remembered those people as they remembered him, and they were glad to see him. There it is, of their faith and charity. So he remembers that in people, and he prays for those people. Talks about Timothy. Timothy had an unfeigned faith. It was real. It wasn't something that grandma and mom passed on to him that he just played with. It was real to him. And Paul remembers those things. Look at 2 Timothy now, chapter... let's keep going to verse 6. Verse 6 here, 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, there we go. That's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? So, back in Paul's day, he had the laying on of hands, which we see pops up here. And That doesn't happen today. But we sure do the procedures, don't we? Laying out of hands. And what was it that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hand? Did Paul put in salvation into Timothy? Did he do that? What is the gift that Paul had given to Timothy? Look at chapter 2, verse 14. There it is again. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. What things? What things? We just always have to be willing to go back. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Okay. That's good. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard, so we deal with that. He tells us, no man that warreth entangles himself. See what we have going on here? Look at verse 6 specifically. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. You got to get it first before he can pass it on. Kind of a thing. Look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's an important thing to remember. That's according to Paul's gospel. Look at verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, where are we going to go with that one? That's a whole other thing to deal into when we get into that deeply. But we still realize the fact that we're going to suffer. Now, let's go back to verse 8 of chapter 1. Or verse 6 of chapter 1, I mean. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. Now, we went over to chapter 2, and we saw some things that are very important that we put in remembrance. Now we go back to chapter 1, and we look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Any fear we have is not from God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it looks to me like what Timothy is going to have to deal with, this hardness and be a soldier, and he's going to have some challenges in there. He's going to be warring, but with the right war. And yet we see here in verse 8, be not thou therefore. So there's where we're coming back to 6 and 7. It's like Paul gave Timothy a sound mind. Well, how do we get a sound mind with all the mental challenges that we have? And it's tough these days. We're under mental stress beyond anything. Well, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God again. There it is. So we see with Paul here, things to remember. And see, we're not going to remember those things at a Lord's Supper or communion thing. We're going to remember his death. I remember how we used to do those things. Remember his death and his burial and his resurrection. And we'd pray and we would partake of the stuff, as they say, and do this and that. But none of the stuff ever comes up. How would you remember these things that we're supposed to remember if it wasn't for what? Our Bible. I mean, it's just that simple. So, I see, like I said this morning, what I see taking place is I see a huge attack on the Bible. Bottom line, here's this pastor that these ladies are trying to get him to see something that is, when you read the materials online, tremendously deep, not deep, they're tremendously confusing and full of words and full of huge paragraphs and pages. And then they go and they're going to tell him what he needs to preach. This is what the truth is. And really, if those ladies, just like he said, any of us would just stick to the Bible. I mean, just to the Bible. You will find that there's three or four points in a verse. You will find there's ways to outline things. There's a verse that you can see that you missed some other little sections in there, and you didn't need all this other stuff to go on you. And we just have to take the time to do it. And thus, to me, is the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. And who is it that's taught about rightly dividing the truth? Who is it that teaches us? It's Paul, but who does he teach it to? And his, as in his books, as Timothy. St. Timothy is supposed to bring us comfort. And he's supposed to go back from us to Paul, if this was to be his day, he's supposed to go back with Paul and say what kind of charity and faith that we've had. Because, see, we've recognized right and dividing. And I can see Timothy walking in here and going back to say, Paul, hey, Paul, these folks still have a faith. It's an unfeigned faith. They're real because they're still there. And they're rightly dividing, Paul. Oh, that's good to hear. I'm so glad to hear that. That's how he would handle that stuff. And then in those books that Timothy writes, there's things we're supposed to remember. And we should remember those things. Most of what we see Paul remembering is each other, which is what we need to be doing. So there you go. Amen. Remembrance. It's being shortchanged by this controversy about the Lord's Supper and communion.